There's a lot of different ways and a lot of different, I think, series and subjects that we can cover on our Wednesday night Bible study. I do keep a list of certain doctrines of the Bible that I just very purposefully make sure that we reinforce from time to time. And so I think repetition is the key to learning. Also, there's many folks that God adds to our church every single year, and I get to the point where I assume that everyone's heard this, and sometimes we need to present fresh material. And so I want to teach on this subject tonight, the blessed assurance of eternal security. The blessed assurance, isn't that a beautiful song, by the way? Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. The blessed assurance of eternal security. You know, I have counseled with a lot of folks in my life, and maybe not formal counseling in conversation with many, many others. And one of the things that I find is that young people that were not raised in a home where there was unconditional love, it affects them later on in their adulthood. It just does. And, you know, I got to thinking about this one day when I was restudying the subject of eternal security. And I, of course, in door-to-door soul winning, talked to a lot of people that were raised in a church that taught people that they could lose their salvation. And many, many of those folks are not in church today. And they will kind of just look at me eventually, shrug their shoulders, and say, yeah, at one time I was saved. But you know what, preacher? I just found out I couldn't live it. I couldn't keep it. And so in answer to your question, yeah, I guess I probably am going to hell. And I thought to myself, what a terrible thing to teach someone. And so I began to ponder that. And I think I've mentioned this before, and so some of this will be a repetition. But, you know, could you imagine me and Cheryl being blessed with three daughters? Can you imagine my precious daughter over here? And she's 5 and 6 and 7 and old enough to understand. And every night for supper, I sit there and I say, well, girls, you know what? Tonight, I want to tell you something. You are all three my daughters. Okay, all of three of you are my children. Now, depending on what you do or do not do between now and supper tomorrow night, you may be our children or you may not be our children. And can you imagine utter fear and insecurity that on any given day, their parents might just completely disown them and turn them out into the world? Now, folks, I don't think there's one parent in this room that would do something that wicked and diabolical to their children. But then we want to turn around and point to our Heavenly Father and make that accusation about Him. Folks, I believe that those who teach, listen to me, teach that you can lose your salvation. I think that's a blasphemous doctrine. I think it's a wicked thing because it's not biblical. And so we're going to take a look at the Bible, and basically I'm going to cover 7 things, and there's a lot of verses. And so I'm going to read most of them, but you just put your seatbelts on and hang on for dear life. But I decided one day I would just broach this question, what would have to happen for Jerry Ross to quote unquote lose my salvation? Gave that question, and then I dived into the Bible to see if I could find a Bible answer. If you're going to ask a Bible question, make sure you give it a Bible answer. And so I just began to jot down some things that would have to happen for me to lose my salvation. Number one, 26 promises of eternal life and 10 promises of everlasting life would have to be ripped from the pages of the Bible. I won't read all of them to you, but you'll recognize many of them. John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Not someday have it, but have it. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me and I give unto them eternal life. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. How about Titus chapter 3? Let's get real specific. Verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. 1 John chapter 5, and this is the record that God hath given us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, folks, that's just a handful of 36 verses in total that give us the promise of eternal life and the promise of everlasting life the moment that we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. I will not one day have eternal life. I have it now. I won't one day have everlasting life. I have it now. You say, preacher, you mean you think you'll never die? That's exactly right. You see, that's why the Bible many, many times refers to the death of a Christian as simply falling asleep. Think about this. 1 Corinthians 11:30. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Talking about Christians who have passed away. 1 Corinthians 15:51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. 1 Thessalonians 4:14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. 1 Thessalonians 5:10. Who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. You remember the story of Lazarus? Remember him passing away? And you remember Jesus postponing for a few days, and Martha was upset and Mary was upset. If thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And Jesus said some things. Think about this. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Remember when Jesus finally decided to go and he told the disciples, he said, now our friend Lazarus, he sleeps, but I got to go so I can awake him out of what? Sleep. Then said the disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Amen. Come on now. Wish mothers, a lot of them wish that was their life verse. They wish children and babies would respect that. Verse 13, howbeit Jesus spake of his death. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death. Now, if the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he's talking about some saved person he knew was saved and that they had died. And he said, listen, they're asleep. I'm going to go wake them up. You know what? Maybe we ought to take note that we do have everlasting life, eternal life. What would have to happen for me to lose my salvation? 26 promises of eternal life and 10 promises of everlasting life would have to be ripped from the pages of the Bible. Number two, we would have to also rip out all the never verses. What do you mean never? John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. John 6:35, and Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. John 10:28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Never perish. Think about that. John 11, verse 25. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, folks, listen to me. I'm just reading a handful of these verses that are represented in the Bible. But in order for Jerry Ross to end up in hell and lose my salvation, God would have to break the promises of eternal life and everlasting life and break the promises of the never verses. Sorry, my nose is wanting to run. Amen. I'm going to catch it right now, okay? Number three. Boy, I got a microphone right here, so mute me for a second, okay? My wife, that is a very mild Jerry Ross. Little Noel the other day, and I was having a runny nose, so I kept doing that. And every time I do it, she'd look at me and go, so like smack that little kid, amen. But number three, God would have to become a liar. He'd have to become a liar. Titus chapter 1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Think about that. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. You know, a man makes a promise and breaks it, he's a liar. He's a liar. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Shall be saved. Romans 5:9, much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, I got thinking about the way that's going to look on YouTube. You know, they're going to be watching and all of a sudden it's going to go mute and you know, they won't tune in if you're just teaching on eternal security, but if you pause there once to blow your note, you want to mute that again for me? Four, I would have, now get this one. Number four, I would have to be unborn again. Now, I've heard of being born again. I heard of being born again. I've just never heard of being unborn again. I can't find that one in the Bible. John 3:5-7, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the capital S, Spirit, is small s, Spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Now, let me tell you where some of the confusion comes on in this matter of salvation. I'm afraid a lot of people don't really understand what salvation is. Because salvation is not a possession that is handed to us. It's a new birth that occurs in us. Now, if I handed one of these guys a silver dollar and I said, now don't you lose that. And then you come back next week and you still got that? You haven't lost? No, I haven't lost it. You know, if I ask him enough weeks in a row, he may come in one day and say, preacher, you're not going to believe it. I lost it. Because he's carrying something around in his pocket. Okay, but salvation is something you carry around in your pocket. Well, say, preacher, what is it then? John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. But of God. And so, folks, salvation isn't a possession we handed. It is a new birth that occurs inside of us. Think about that. The day you got saved, I want some of you to settle this. You know, we from time to time get folks in and they've got a background of being raised with this false doctrine and it seems like they struggle with assurance. And you know what? I don't want you to struggle with that. I want you to know that you know that you know that you know that you're on your way to heaven. But see, folks, salvation is a possession you carry around in your pocket. It's the transformation a miracle by the Holy Spirit of God that enters into you the moment that you cry out in true repentance and heart faith and ask Christ to save you. You know what happens? The Holy Spirit rebirths your dead spirit that was dead in trespasses and sin. And once again, you are a body, a soul, and a living spirit. So when you lose your salvation, the same Holy Spirit take out a knife and kill that reborn spirit and put it back. Now, folks, that's foolishness. And there's no Bible basis for that teaching. So number four, I would have to be unborn again. Number five, the Holy Spirit would have to go to hell with me. The Holy, if God decided to send Jerry Ross to hell, the Holy Spirit would have to go to hell with me. That means, by the way, let's make sure we understand who the Holy Spirit is, okay? We believe in a triune God, right? We believe in one God that chooses to reveal himself to us in three distinct personalities. You say, well, preacher, is there one God or is there three? Yes. But that means that a third of who God is would have to go to hell with me. You say, preacher, where do you get that? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timotheus, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit, capital S Spirit, in our hearts. Now, folks, when God uses the word earnest, he knew that we would know what he was talking about there. If you decide that you want to buy a piece of property and the owner says, well, I don't want you backing out of it. Do you have all the money now? No, I don't have it now. Well, when can you get it? Well, not till so-and-so. Well, I'm not going to hold it without some earnest money. And so what does that mean? That means you put down some money on this. And by the way, you come back a couple days later and say, hey, it's not going to work out for me to be able to buy this. Could I have my earnest money back? You know what the answer is going to be? No, you can't. You know why? Because you gave that knowing that if you reneged on your promise, you were going to lose it. Woo, I'm feeling pretty good now. I mean, I don't think God sent in the Holy Spirit to hell. And so we need to settle this thing once and for all. Number six, a man would have to become stronger than Jesus and God the Father. A man, in order to lose his salvation, would have to become stronger than Jesus and God the Father. I haven't had you turn anywhere, so this will be fun. Let's go to John chapter 10. I got to have you move the scripture sometime. I mean, I had to wake two or three of you up there. So John chapter 10, I didn't want to have to stop blowing my nose again. I got some of you back when I did that. But John chapter 10 and verse number 27. John chapter 10 and verse number 27. The Bible says this, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, there it is, eternal life. That's one of those eternal life verses. And they shall never perish. That's one of those never verses I was talking about. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So I'm going to borrow, let's see the two young men that are the most comfortable beside their wives. So Nathaniel and Samuel, you know, I'll be honest with you. Sometimes y'all just make me a little sick. All right, the way you come on up here. Huh? I got to break this. I'm telling you, there they are honeymooning right here on a Wednesday night. Amen. And by the way, I love it. I love it. Now, either one of you got a coin, because I don't carry change with me. Who's got a coin? You got a coin? This young man right here's got a coin, and he's reaching for it in his pocket, and he's getting it, and he's going for it, and he's throwing it, and all righty. Now, folks, I want you to see this, okay? All right, let's make sure we read this again. He says this, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Jesus said that, so we're going to let him be Jesus. And that's you once you get saved. Did you get that? And so he's going to put his hands all over that. Now put your other hand on it too, just to make sure it's good. Now here's God the Father, and he's coming over here, and he's going to put his hands on top of those hands. All right, and then where's Cody at? Come on up here, Cody. I need your help real quick, all right? Again, I wanted to pick one of the strongest, most masculine. What's your middle name? Amen, brother. Come on up here. If anybody's got a chance, it's a Ross, I'm telling you. All right, now I want you to do. You seen the coin put in her hand? All right, you get that thing from me, and you do whatever you have to do. You get that thing from, come on, rip it out of there. Come on, man. Come on, come on, harder. I mean, come on, you got this. You got this. Come on, bite him, bite him. No, don't really, no. Don't bite him, no. All right, thank you, Coach. Effort. Thank you, guys. You can keep that coin. No, I'll return it to him. Give it back to the rightful owner. Hey, good catch, man. Good catch. And that's how secure you are. Because, folks, let me tell you something. These two are grown men. But if Cody had had one, he probably would have got that. Especially since he's a Ross. I mean, hey, you know what? You're more secure than that. You're more secure than that. And so, you know what? Listen, I feel so sorry for people that are spending their entire life working every day of their life fully occupied and trying to keep themselves saved. And one of the reasons it's such a devilish doctrine is it puts so these Christians on a hamster wheel where they're running as fast as they can and getting nowhere. You know, it's hard to really be focused on seeing other people get saved if you're spending all your time trying to keep yourself saved. Come on, it's really hard to focus on serving the Lord when you are serving a Lord who in your mind could throw you to the curb at any time. And so, you know what, folks? I want you to remember. I want you to remember what you just saw there, because a man would have to become stronger than Jesus and God the Father. And he said, no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's house. By the way, that's including you. That's including you. 2 Timothy 1:12. And for the which cause I also suffer these things. Watch this. Listen. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed. And am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And this matter of the keeping of your soul, you just need to commit that to him. And you know what? You'll know that you're in good hands. Look at this. 7 points. Are you kidding me? Number 7, salvation would be based on man's works. Let's just get down to it, folks. If I could lose my salvation, then salvation would be based on man's works and not on the mercy and grace of Almighty God. And Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I love Romans chapter 11, verse 6. Well, if you get anybody that wants to combine grace and works, you ought to take note of this verse. I'm telling you, Romans 11:6. Open your Bible and show it to them. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Well, here's what they say. Well, I know that salvation is by grace through faith. But you know what? In order to keep yourself, okay, I'm sorry, you can't mix these two. The minute you add works, then it's not grace. Okay, and if you're going to stand on the grace of God, then it doesn't involve any works. The gift of God is eternal life. Now, I think most people in this room probably rock solid on this, but we got kids growing up all over this place, and one of these days they're going to have somebody walk up to them and begin to suggest to them that it's possible for them to lose their salvation. I'll be honest with you. I was in 8th grade before I even knew anybody believed this. I was in 8th grade. Friends, guy that I befriended was the son of an Assembly of God preacher. And we were at lunch one day, and he all of a sudden told me, he said, hey, you're Baptist, right? And he said, yeah. And he said, so you believe in once saved, always saved. And I looked at him like, well, of course. And I really, almost like, doesn't everybody? And he said, well, you're wrong about that. And I was dumbfounded. I remember going home and talking to my dad and said, Dad, I ran into a boy today that claims we can lose our salvation. I'm sure glad I had a dad that knew the Bible. I'm sure glad I had a dad that was able to open it up and say, Jerry, let me tell you why that is impossible. And I sure count it a privilege tonight to open the same Bible and tell every single person here and everybody who may be listening online or later listens to this message, listen, you can know that you know that you know that you know that you know that you're saved. You put that in the hands of God, roll up your sleeves, just get busy serving Him. Not to keep your salvation, but out of a thankful heart because you are saved. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful, wonderful doctrine. Thank you that you're such a good Heavenly Father, such a good Heavenly Father. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help maybe someone who might be struggling with this, maybe nobody tonight, help them to settle it once for all, once for all. And Lord, I pray, dear God, that these good folks, many of them already believe that, but this has increased their faith and reminded them of why they believe what they believe. And some of our young people, Lord, I pray, dear God, that one of these days, if this is ever questioned by someone, they'll know. They'll know more than Jerry Ross knew as an eighth grader when it kind of caught me off guard. And they'll be able to give a Bible answer of why they know for sure that once they are saved, they are always saved. And pray these things in Jesus' name.